job. Thank you so much. I love that middle song that was in there. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Wonderfully sung, wonderfully played. Clear notes, beautiful. God bless you. Great job. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Luke 14. Our whole passage will be 16 to 23. Our springboard will be 22 and 23. Luke 14, 22 and 23. Let me remind you, next Saturday, this coming Saturday night, we move our clock forward 1 hour and lose an hour. I know, boo hiss. I know. But that's okay. It'll be bright Sunday night when you come to church. Okay, just threw that out there. That was free. A message, and I'm entitled tonight, this morning, The Three Laws of Inviting. And I want to say welcome to those of you watching in the gym today. We're glad to have you, and I hope you'll tune along as well. And I know that you're doing the Hoosier One emphasis, as we all are, one part of one family here. And so I hope today's message is a challenge for all of us. Look in 22. And the servant said, Master, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room. Oh, let those words echo in your mind. Still there is room, still there is room, still there is room. And the master said to his servant, Go into the highways along the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That's the message today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege we have as your servants, as your bond slaves, as those who belong to you, been bought with a price, to extend the invitation to those who need to hear an invitation to come to be a part of our church family, to come to hear about the message of forgiveness, to come be a part of with us on Easter Sunday and every Sunday after that for the rest of time as long as we're here. Thank you, God, that we are your inviters. Thank you for that privilege. Lord, I pray you'll bless today. Stir our hearts, cause names, people, faces to come into our minds that we can invite to be our guest on Easter Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are some invitations we should not accept, some invitations we should accept. And the offer of forgiveness is an offer everyone should accept, as well as the offer to attend church with us on Easter Sunday, because that is where people can find out how to accept the offer of forgiveness of sins. Now, a little history question here, and see if you can get the answer to this one, all right? If you like history, see if you know what specific invitation these 15 people all turned down. What specific invitation did these 15 people all turn down? Here it is. Mr. and Mrs. Ulysses S. Grant were invited, but they turned down the invitation because of a prior commitment with children. Mr. and Mrs. Edward Stanton were invited, but turned down the invitation because Mrs. Stanton didn't like Mrs. Lincoln. Telegraph officer Thomas Eckert was invited, but turned it down because he needed the money to stay and work. Speaker of the House Schuyler Colfax was invited. He turned it down because he was catching an early train the next morning. Republican convention leader George Ashman was invited. He turned it down because of a prior engagement. Illinois Governor Richard Oglesby was invited, but turned it down to visit friends. Ex-Illinois Governor Richard Yates was invited, turned it down to visit friends. General Isham Haney was invited. He turned it down because he had an engagement with friends. Postmaster William Howard was invited, turned it down because of prior engagements. Idaho Governor William Wallace and his wife were invited. They turned it down because, oh, they said they were too tired. Reporter Noah Brooks was invited, turned it down, said, I've got a bad cold. Robert Lincoln, the president's son, was invited, turned it down. He had to go to bed early that night. I like that. Any idea what specific invitation these 15 people all turned down? Modern service folks, which one was it? What were they invited to go to? All right, here in this crowd, what was it they turned down? Ford's Theater. They were all invited by the president to sit with President Lincoln and his wife Mary in the president's booth, April 14, 1865, at Ford's Theater for the play, Our American Cousin. They all turned it down So who accepted the invitation? Well, Mary Todd Lincoln had a new friend she'd made, a young girl, Washington's social circles. Her name was Clara Harris. Clara was the daughter of New York Senator Ira Harris, and Clara had a fiancé named Henry Rathbone, who was a major in the Union Army. Well, this young couple, they were thrilled at the idea of sitting next to the President and First Lady in the President's booth at Ford Theater. They accepted the invitation. 15 others had turned down. Well, you know the rest of the story. Booth shot the President in the back of the head. Henry Rathbone wrestled with Booth, and Booth slashed his arm badly from elbow to shoulder, a really bad gash. And Booth jumped over the railing onto the stage, yelling, "Sic semper tyrannis, thus always to tyrants," and Henry Rathbone yelled, "Stop that man!" But Booth got away, and Lincoln died the next morning. Now, you probably knew that part of the story, but here's a part you might not have known. Clara Harris and Henry Rathbone, they got married shortly after that, and they had three children. But Henry could never overcome the guilt for letting the President be shot and Booth escape. Guilt's a very powerful emotion. It has some very destructive consequences. As time passed, Henry Rathbone, sitting with the President in Ford's Theater, lost his mind, and he began to suffer hallucinations, where the assassination was replayed over and over and over. If only I'd done this, if only I'd done that, if only, if only, if only. And his mind went to a very, very dark place. He suffered post-traumatic stress disorder. He suffered schizophrenia. And it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And finally in his mind, he thought of a way that he could turn back time and stop Booth from killing the President. Turn back time? He was messed up. He went out and bought a pistol and a knife, exactly like the kind that Booth used that night of the assassination. And what Rathbone figured in his mind he would do, he would take that gun like the kind that Booth used to kill Lincoln, and he would shoot his wife and his children and kill himself with a knife. And that would absolve him from not being able to stop Booth from escaping and killing the President. That's the way it worked in his mind. As he went into his children's bedroom with that gun like Booth had and the knife, Clara, the mother of the children, his wife, stood in front of the kids to protect them. So Henry shot his wife in the head, just like Booth shot Lincoln. And then he began to stab himself in the chest 5 times in his mind to kill the perpetrator of the crime and stop Lincoln from being killed. Clara Rathbone died. The children lived, went to live with an uncle, and Henry lived and spent the rest of his life in an insane asylum for the criminally insane in Hanover, Germany. There's some invitations you shouldn't accept. There's some you should. But, old friend, the offer of forgiveness of sins is an offer everyone should accept, as well as the offer to attend church on Easter Sunday, because that's where they can learn how to have their sins forgiven. Here in the parable of the dinner, Jesus not only shows us He wants everyone to be saved and forgiven of sin, He reminds us they won't be forgiven unless someone invites them, or they can hear how they can be forgiven. We live in a world where people are badly in need of forgiveness and be removed of the guilt they have. Jesus died for our guilt and our sins. What are the 3 laws of inviting? Glad you asked. Here they are. Law number 1, the command to invite. The command to invite, 16 and 17. He said to him, "A certain man was invited, giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his servant to say to those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.'" Now, Luke 14 opens with the Pharisees holding a feast, inviting a man they normally would have nothing to do with, a man who suffered from this malaria-like disease called dropsy. The Pharisees were looking for evidence to convict Jesus of breaking their Sabbath laws. Jesus asked, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" They gave no response, causing him to tell 2 parables about the importance of inviting those with great needs. The wealthy host who invited many represents God, who gave the invitation. The banquet represents salvation in the kingdom and forgiveness of sins. The pre-invited guests were the Jews, who made excuses and refused to come. causing the wealthy host to extend his invitation to everyone everywhere. That would be the Gentiles, like you and I. God wants everyone to have salvation. He wants everyone to experience forgiveness. But just because salvation and forgiveness are available does not mean they're automatic. Somebody has to invite them. Who's that someone? Verse 17. He, the wealthy host, God, sent his servants, believers, that's you and I, Christian, to extend the invitation. Now notice the wealthy host did not suggest his servants go invite him. He didn't wish they would, hope they would, imply they would, assume they would. No, he commanded them to go invite. Christian, this is not just about the Old Testament prophets inviting the Jews to be saved, though it's certainly that. It's to Christ all the prophets bear witness. It's not just about believers today inviting Gentiles to believe in Christ, though it's that. It's a command about inviting people to come to church where they can learn how to be forgiven of their sins. God sent the prophets, He sent the apostles to invite people to come to Christ. We too, Christian, are under God's command to invite them so they can hear how they can be forgiven of their sins, of their guilt, and have peace with God. And since Easter Sunday is that one Sunday where people are most open to attend church, we're focusing all of our invite energy, who's your one, on Easter. And we're asking every church member to invite at least one person to be their guest on Easter Sunday. Friend, the responsibility of inviting is not someone else's, it's yours and it's mine. If you're a soldier of the Lord, a child of God, a believer in the army of faith, it's our responsibility. Now, I invited a man in my neighborhood to be my guest on Easter Sunday. He told me he can't come because of COVID. I said, that's fine. Jesus said we ought to expect some no thank yous in verses 18 to 20, didn't he? I invited our church's elevator repairman if he would be my guest on Easter Sunday. He said he would. Now, I'm still going to invite some others, but I'm hoping that my elevator repairman friend and his family will all be here at 10:30 a.m. on Easter Sunday, April the 4th. See, the Bible is a book about inviting. In Matthew 4, Jesus invited Peter and James, and they invited Andrew and John, and the multitudes invited their family and friends, and the 4,000 that ate the bread and the fish invited their family and friends. The formerly demon-possessed man invited his family and friends. The centurion did the same. Matthew the tax collector did the same. Mary Magdalene did the same. The 70 disciples did the same. Our world has been changed because people have invited their family and friends. That's the New Testament way. It still is. The dinner host commanded his servants to invite the pre-invited guests to come to the dinner. And may I remind you, that was not a suggestion. In the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew 22, Jesus told about a king who was giving a wedding feast for his son. And when those who were invited refused to come, when the Jews said, no thanks, we're not interested, the king said, fine, go into the highways and hedges and invite as many as you can to come. As many as you find. As many as you find. Do you know someone who doesn't regularly attend church or Sunday school, Bible study? Do you have a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, a colleague, a schoolmate, someone that probably doesn't go to church on Sunday? Maybe they need to hear about the thing that Henry Rathbone needed to hear about. They need to hear about forgiveness. They need to find out how they can receive it as a free gift. Study the life of Major Henry Rathbone of the Union Army, the man sitting with President Mrs. Lincoln and Clara in the Ford's Theater President's Box, and you'll find out after that fateful night, his life went downhill fast. Witnesses say he began drinking heavily. He began acting strangely. He began gambling and having affairs and more drinking and more drinking, and more drinking. People gave him advice. They said, you're killing yourself. Don't do that. But they didn't tell him what he needed to hear, and that's about the grace and forgiveness available through Jesus Christ. He never heard about it. I did a lot of searching and digging on old Major Henry Rathbone. Too much time I wasted on it, but I wanted to do it. Did the old boy ever go to church, any religious affiliation, anywhere, at all, at any time? I could find none, zero, never, ever. Matter of fact, when he died, his remains were put in a common grave in Hanover, Germany. And because his kids were back in the U.S. with an uncle, there were no family members there to claim his remains or put up a marker for him. So a few years later, his remains were dug up and disposed of by cemetery management, just thrown away. The man that sat with the president in the president's booth as his guest, that fateful night when the president was killed by Booth, he died without a funeral service. He died without a marker. He died without anyone knowing what happened to his remains. And worst of all, he died in need of forgiveness of sins. If only someone had invited him to church where he would hear about forgiveness. There's no evidence they did. Christian, listen, we're commanded to invite others to come to heaven's dinner feast. We're commanded to invite others to church where they can hear about and be forgiven of their sins. Our Hoosier One Easter Sunday emphasis is not some gaudy game or gimmick. It's a command from Jesus himself. It's a command. It's what we're supposed to be doing. In the book, The Inviting Church, the authors asked 50,000 people over the last 10 years, why did you go to church? 75 to 90% said, because somebody invited me. 2% because of an advertisement. 6% the preacher invited me. By the way, it'd be much more powerful of an invitation if you invite them than I invite. I'm going to invite some folks, but it carries a lot more weight if you do it than I do it. 6% went because of an evangelism campaign. 86% because someone personally invited them, a friend or relative, someone they knew personally invited them. Friend, inviting people is the most effective thing we can do to get people back to church. We got to do it. And I believe Easter Sunday, April 4, will be an especially good day because many people have already had their COVID vaccinations and they'll feel a little more comfortable coming back to church, which means we need to hear the Lord's command, hear it once again. It's a command. It's not an option. It's a command. It's a command. Law number 2, the crowd to invite. We invite whom? Here are the people we invite. Verse 21. And the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. Get the mental image. Food is on the table, hot and steaming, ready to go. Invitations went out. Everyone was that was invited made excuses why they couldn't go. So the host told his servants, you find anyone to come to this dinner. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, those the Pharisees would never invite. The servant said, sir, we've already done this, and there's still plenty of room. The host said, you go in the highways and hedges, invite the homeless, the down and outers, the last, the least, the lost, anybody you find, compel them to come. From Matthew's gospel, we're told the feast was a wedding feast given to honor the king's son. It would dishonor the king's son if everything was ready and nobody came. Can I say that one more time? It would dishonor the king's son if everything was ready and nobody came. And so to make sure the king's son was honored, that's why we invite, to make sure the king's son is honored. That's a good reason. The invitation was extended to anyone and everyone. See, the gospel invitations for every person, every race, country, language, socioeconomic group, status group. We need to invite those that might not ever be invited by anyone else to anything else, anywhere else. Those are they whom we should invite. I love the story in the Bible in 2 Kings 7 of four lepers sitting at the gate of Samaria that had been besieged by the Arameans, the Syrian army. No food was going into Samaria. No people were going out. That's the way they would conquer a city in the old times. They would starve them out. The airtight embargo was firm and fixed. There were food shortages in the city. The famine was so bad, women were boiling and eating their children. The most revolting garbage in the city of Samaria was selling, was worth its weight in silver. And I'm not going to tell you what they were eating in Samaria, but it was bad. People were dropping dead in Samaria of starvation. And so get the mental image. These four starving lepers are sitting in the dirt outside the city gate, dying of leprosy. And finally they said, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go to the Assyrians, the Syrian army, man, there's a slight chance they won't kill us and we'll get maybe something to eat. 100% chance we stay here sitting in the dirt, we're going to die. We go back to the Assyrians, we beg for mercy. Slight chance, maybe 2% chance they'll let us live. As they walked to the Syrian camp, strangely it was empty, it was abandoned. The Lord had caused the Syrian army to hear the sounds of chariots and horses and armies. And when the four lepers entered the camp, I want you to know there was food everywhere. It was filled with tons of food and drink and silver and gold and clothes and you name it, it was there. And so the four lepers began stuffing their faces as fast as they could choke it down, like a chihuahua gobbling the food so the cat won't get it. And so they're feeding their face. And finally, one stops eating. He says, guys, we do not well. This isn't right. This is not right. This is a day of good news. We have tons and tons of food, but the folks in Samaria are starving. If someone from the city comes out and they find us stuffing our faces and they're starving and we didn't say a word, quote, punishment will overtake us. They'll kill us. If they find out we've got all this and we didn't tell them, they'll kill us. We need to go back and tell the people there's bread enough and to spare. Oh, let the holy hush fall again. We need to tell the people there's bread enough and to spare. And so they did. And 2 Kings 7:16 says the people went out and plundered the camp. Paraphrase, it looked like Black Friday at Walmart when those three TVs, 55-inch, are on sale for $49.99. I mean, stampeding and stomping and stepping over each other was going on. A mad dash, every man for his own. Isn't it true sometimes, Christian, we act like the four lepers? We've got bread enough and to spare here. We have gospel bread. We have God's truth, His riches, His insight into eternal things. Why, we have plenty here. But there's a world out there starving to death. Starving to death. They don't know. We're gobbling and eating and we're full in here. But like the lepers, we do not well. The table is spread. There's bread enough and to spare. It's sin not to invite others to come join us. Easter's a day of good news, but we're keeping silent. It's a time to tell. It's a time to tell. It's a time to share the bread. Look at the last five words of verse 22. Last five words, verse 22. And still there is room. And still there is room. Heaven's vacancy sign is lit up. There's still room. It's not even half full. I think about all those Egyptians who lost their firstborn at the first Passover. That didn't have to happen. There was plenty of lamb's blood available to dab on the doorpost and lintels of every home in Egypt, but sadly they perished out of ignorance and unbelief, mostly ignorance. I think about the Titanic, capable of carrying 64 lifeboats that would have given a seat to every passenger on board. But the number of lifeboats was cut from 64 to 20 because they didn't want the deck to look so cluttered. I mean, it'll never sink anyway. We don't need 64. 20 will work. But that's not the saddest fact. The saddest fact was each of the 20 lifeboats could carry 65 people per lifeboat. That's 1,300 people. But only 1,178 were saved. Most lifeboats were not full. First lifeboat had 28 people in it when it was launched. Had room for 37 more, but 37 never got in lifeboat number one. And those in lifeboat number one, when they heard the screams and shrieks of the people in the water, said, we're not going back there. They'll swamp our boat and get our seat. We're going to stay where we are. Let them drown. And did you know, even with only 16 lifeboats, they calculated another 476 passengers could have gotten in those boats without fear of tipping or sinking the lifeboats. Listen, friend, there's vacancy in heaven. There's plenty of vacancy in heaven. There's plenty of vacancy at church. There's plenty of seats available, right? Don't we have some vacancy today? In the gym, don't you guys have vacancy today? Look around. Don't you see some empty seats? What about on Easter Sunday? Oh, listen, even with social distancing, I believe there's going to be plenty of room on Easter Sunday. Write down the first name of the person you know that probably is not going to church now. Or the initials. You can put their initials that you're going to invite. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. And then invite them. It's okay to invite more than one. If two say, I'll be there, probably only one will show. So invite two. Whatever you want to do. Start with your family members. Who do you know in your family that doesn't go to church every Sunday? You got anybody like that? Oh, yes. What about friends and coworkers that you work with and friends at school, your school friends? They don't go to church on Sunday. Well, I don't know if they go to church on Sunday. We'll invite them to be your guests and you'll know. Cashiers, neighbors, people you come in contact with. Think of that person who's never invited by anyone to anything, anywhere. The person that most people overlook. They don't see that person. If they have a soul, they need to be invited. They need to be shown the love and compassion of Christ. Jesus said we ought to do it. I hope you will. Three laws of inviting. Number one, the command to invite. It's not an option, it's not a suggestion, it's a command from Jesus himself. Number two, the crowd to invite. Those who are never invited to anything by anyone anywhere. The down and out, the least, the lost, the last. Number three, here's the good news, the smiley part. The consequences of inviting. The consequences of inviting. We invite them. What's going to happen? Verse 23, and the master said to his slave, go out in the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Don't you love those last 11 words? By the way, that's a sermon waiting to be preached as a standalone message. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Church, listen to what Jesus said. Compel them to come in so my house may be filled. God wants his house filled. He doesn't want it half empty, three-quarter full. Well, preacher, we're in a pandemic. People are nervous. I understand that. But a lot of folks are getting vaccines right now. Maybe you're getting yours. Maybe you got yours. And people can wear masks. And on Easter Sunday, I think we'll still have plenty of space to socially distance from each other. I think we will. Let me tell you what I see. Where's my soapbox? When I go to Publix, Jamie and I go on Friday night. When we go to Publix, it's packed with people. It's packed. We park out in the boondocks. Well, number one, I don't want my car dented, but number two, because we park out in the boondocks. There's a lot of people there. It's packed. When I go to Walmart, it's packed with people. Packed. You walk through. We drive by Friday night. We're coming back. We drive by Shell's restaurant, and I look over in the parking lot, and you know what I see? Good night. There's no parking space. It's packed. I look at Outback Steakhouse. You know what I see? It's packed. Packed. Parking lots are full. Friend, let me tell you something. Somebody's going somewhere. We come to church, it's half full. What's wrong with this picture? Now, church gurus like Tom Rainer are saying that even after everybody's vaccinated and even after COVID is totally over, in the books like the Spanish flu of 1918, he says still after everybody's safe and sound, it's all done, herd immunity, all that stuff, we're all good to go and it's all done and over. I'm looking forward to that, by the way. He said you're still going to be 40% down in your attendance as to what it was pre-COVID, even after it's not a problem anymore. 40% we're going to be down. He said if you were full, you're going to be half full even after it's all over. People aren't going to come back to church. Well, wait a minute, what can we do about it? Well, we can curse the darkness and cry and whine, moan, and, you know, get a towel. Or we can do something else. We can start calling folks. We can start inviting folks. We can start sending cards and sending emails and sending texts. I know not everybody's been vaccinated yet. That's why we're picking Easter Sunday as the Hoosier one day. 4 weeks we have from now to Easter. And so that gives those of you at risk to have time to get vaccinated. And it gives those of all of us about who it is we can invite on Easter Sunday. And here's something that we need to remember. This is so simple but so powerful. The more we invite, the more who will come. The more we invite, the more who will come. Well, that raises the question, how many does the Lord want us to invite? Is that a good question? How many does Jesus want us to invite? Last words of verse 23, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Invite them to the house is filled. And even then, you might have to cut a hole in the roof and let them down. I don't know. Invite them to come so more will come. And if we do that, more will come than if we don't invite anyone. We say, it's Easter Sunday, I'm going to church. You going to church? Yeah, I guess I'll go to church today. I'll go show up in my spot and see what happens. No. Christian, we got to get serious. It's time to get in the game. We We got to get this train moving. We got to get some steam in the engine. We got to get this thing moving again. We got to do some inviting. Yes. Is the gospel going to be shared on Easter Sunday in these services? Absolutely. Are people going to be able to respond to the gospel that's shared on Easter Sunday? Absolutely. Will those who respond to the gospel that's shared on Easter Sunday find forgiveness of sins if they ask Jesus to save them? Absolutely. Will they have heaven as their eternal home? Absolutely. Will those who come find guilt, removal from forgiveness in Jesus, peace of mind, purpose in life, and something that you can't get anywhere else in our culture? Absolutely. Does God want us to invite others so His house will be filled? Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe in our fair city right now, Lakeland is filled with people in desperate need of forgiveness of sins. Desperate need of forgiveness. Some of them carry the haunting effects of guilt. And some of them that don't feel anything, don't sense anything. If they're without Christ, they're equally as guilty. We're all guilty. The good news is Jesus can take our guilt, our shame, our sin. He can nail it to Calvary's cross so we can be as if we'd never sinned at all. Guilt is not a good thing. Jesus came to take it from us and off of us. Guilt takes a heavy toll on a person's body and mind and mental health. Think about the four people sitting in the booth, Ford's Theater that night, 1865. President Lincoln was one of the four. He was killed by John Wilkes Booth. Clara Rathbone was sitting next to Mary in the booth. She was killed by her husband, Henry. Henry Rathbone was one of the four sitting in the booth. He died in an insane asylum in Hanover, Germany. And people that worked with him, that knew him, said all day long, the day he died, he was mumbling, "The man with the knife, I can't stop him. The man with the knife, I can't stop him. The man with the knife, I can't." And he died. That's his last words. Well, let's see. That's three out of four. Who was the last person in the booth, Ford's Theater? I talked about Abe Lincoln, Henry Rathbone, Clara. Who was the other one? Mary Todd Lincoln, yeah. The president's wife, she was one of the four in the booth. Her son Robert was an attorney. His son Robert had his mother committed to Bellevue Mental Institution in Illinois. She went insane. She lost her mind. Listen, friend, forgiveness of sins is something everybody needs to accept. And I'm here to tell you, without it, we're doomed. We're doomed. They have to hear about it to accept it. But if we don't invite them, they might not ever hear about it. We have to invite them. We must invite them. Jesus said, "Compel them to come so my house may be filled." We're going to do that for Easter Sunday. And we're going to try to do all we can do to fill the house so people can hear about forgiveness and be forgiven and have a different kind of life than they would have had. Would you pray with me, please? If you're listening to me this morning in this building, in the Life Center online, and you've never received the forgiveness of your sins, it is available. The Bible says in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. This morning you can be forgiven of everything you've ever said, ever done. Jesus said He comes to give us rest, peace of mind, forgiveness of sins, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'd like to ask the Lord to save you and forgive you today, remove all your guilt and sin, you can do that. If you'd like to, by virtue of a prayer, that's a conviction, that's a commitment in your heart, silently where no one can hear, pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. Please pay for my sin, take my guilt, remove it off of me. I trust You're the risen Lord and You have right to be King of my life. Please right now be my Lord, my Savior, my King. Save me right now." Every head bowed, every eye closed. Will there be one this morning say, "Pastor, I'm not ashamed to let you know I prayed that today. For the very first time, I prayed that today." Would you raise your hand? What in the Life Center? One of those you watching in the Life Center, what about you? Have you prayed and asked Jesus to save you? Why not let someone know? Father, we want to pray that You'll lead us to the person we need to invite. For those we need to invite. God, help us to realize this is not someone else's job. This is our call. This is our responsibility. The world needs no more Henry Rathbones. We need more people that have experienced the joy of new life. Thank you for that, God. Thank you. There's forgiveness of sin, removal of guilt in Christ Jesus. I pray for everyone listening today, God, that you'll remind us that we offer something the world cannot offer, and that is the good news. As your ambassadors for Christ, we are those who share the good news of forgiveness of sins. Thank you for what Jesus paid to make it possible. And I pray you'll bless today. In Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you did pray to receive Jesus, have a spiritual question, need, decision, inquiry, I hope you'll let me know. I hang around the service just for you. I'll be in the office this week. Call, talk to me on the phone about it. Make it a priority. Why, make it one of the highest priorities of your life. It really is. It really is. Thank you for being here this morning, and I hope you'll come back tonight. We'll continue looking at tonight, I think, is the lost sheep. And notice it's not the lost goats. What about church members that don't come anymore? What do we do? What do we do? Let's look at the parable of the lost sheep tonight, 6:30. Hope to see you here. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your continued faithful giving to our church, to the Lord, through the church. That's the way it works, to the Lord, through the church. And thank you for being here today. Brother Clive, are you voicing our closing prayer today? All right. Come on up and do that for us for the offertory. Again, don't forget, next Saturday night, set your clock forward 1 hour. And also set your alarm for 6 o'clock tonight so you can be here at 6:30. I'll just do that in there free of charge. Let's stand to be dismissed for our offertory prayer, please.
Brother Chuck, truly I could say it is well with my soul. And I hope everyone else that's in this building can say the same thing. Father, we thank you for what we have heard. Lord, help us to go out and put it into practice, oh Father. Let us be your faithful servants. We thank you for jobs that you have given us, all the means in which we gather wealth on this earth. And I pray, Lord, as we give back to you, we'll do it with a willingness and a joy. For the Lord says we should be happy in our giving. For when we give, you give back way more than we give. So bless our gifts today, we pray. We give you thanks that we can do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See you tonight.